Are you, as a leader, constantly compelling others to serve? I wrote an article about that once, and here it is.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only and only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hello, this is the Leading LDS Podcast. I welcome you for another episode. My name is Kurt Frankum. I am the host, and it was funny, the other day I was talking to somebody, and this good sister has listened to every episode of Leading LDS, and she said to me, you know, Kurt, we've only talked in person a few times, but I feel like I know you. I feel like you're my friend, and so if you feel like you know me, send me a message. We're friends, okay? Let's chat. Let's get to know each other. I love getting, you know, listener mail from individuals who are appreciating this content we're putting out, and I would love to get that message, so write that on your planner today. Send Kurt an email at leadinglds, okay? And you just send an email to kurt@leadinglds.com and it'll show up in my inbox. I'd love to hear from you. So today is another segment of Throwback Thursday. I don't know if I will release this on a Thursday, but I think I tried to. As you can see, these are few and far between. I would like to make these throwback episodes more consistent because there is so much content on Leading LDS and so much valuable content. I don't want it to be forgotten, so I try and revisit it, and many of these are articles that were published long before we had the podcast part of Leading LDS, and so they were not pushed out through the podcast, and so I'd like to do so, and that's what today is. I hope to do these weekly, but as you can tell, sometimes it's every other week or once a month, and I'm just doing the best I can, so thanks for your patience. This is an article I wrote back in 2013 when I was serving as bishop, and it's entitled, What If All the Church Programs That Compelled Service Were Abolished? And as I was reviewing this article, I had some further thoughts that maybe I'll share at the end after you get a chance to hear it. So listen in. I live in a very transient ward. Some months we get up to 30 new members moving in and roughly the same amount moving out. Most of these we never see in church. It's the nature of our ward and it has its pros and cons. This results in the fact that we have a significant number of members on our rolls that we don't know. They're just names with a few facts. About a year ago, I went through the ward roster and marked each name that I didn't know. With roughly 500 names on the rolls, 190 names were unfamiliar to me as the bishop. This was concerning. I stewed over this problem for weeks and I knew I needed to find a solution. Reactivating these 190 names was a long shot. However, I felt it was our duty as a ward to at least know who these people were and understand their basic life situation, even if they didn't want to attend church with us. To solve this problem, I did what most leaders do. I created a program. I called it the Hour a Week program. If I, as the bishop, could find extra time in my week to do interviews and fulfill other responsibilities of my calling, then I am sure each active member of the ward could find 1 hour to knock on doors in the ward and say, Hi, how are you? We are here to serve. So that is the program I created. I challenge each member of my ward to find 1 hour they could take a few minutes and go find out who these people were. They could choose any day, Tuesday through Friday at 7 p.m. We would meet at a center point in the ward and then start visiting. To be honest, it worked. We got the number of unknowns down to about 25. From 190 names to 25. It was a great experience. Well, after a few months of doing the hour a week program, I realized it took a lot of motivation for me as the leader to keep encouraging members to participate. Once I stopped nagging about the program in church and to my auxiliary leaders, well, it faded away. What happened? Why did I have to create a program in order to get people to seek out the lost sheep? Why did I have to command them in all things? Why were they not anxiously engaged in a good cause and do many things of their own free will? I realized I had a leadership deficit. I had to compel in all things rather than building a culture that naturally influenced others to serve. So why do we compel others to serve? What if all the programs that compelled service were abolished? No more home or visiting teaching, no more callings focused on simple tasks like door greeter, church cleaning, stacking chairs, etc. I realize there needs to be some level of organization of those called to serve. If we open up all the positions, including leadership positions, to anyone that felt like serving, we may suddenly have a circus on our hands. However, the service culture of our organization skews towards those in leadership positions to pick up the slack. The list of what only a bishop can do is really quite short. The fact he is greeting people at the beginning and the end of church, or that he visits more families during the week, isn't because he is the only one that has authority to do so. So why don't more members just do without being compelled? That's the million-dollar question, has been analyzed on many episodes on Leading LDS. Doing proactive service is much more difficult than doing reactive service. Leaders realize this and create a program that changes the proactive act to a reactive act. Instead of just visiting and fellowshipping members naturally, we make lists of families and then follow up at the end of the month to see if they have visited them. Is it good leadership to make everything reactive? I don't know. But every leader would love these acts of service to happen organically. Do many things of their own free will. As I have contemplated this topic of whether creating programs to get others to act is really effective, I don't know the answer. In a perfect world, I see people coming to church and bathing in the spirit of the gospel of Jesus Christ and then leaving with no other desire than to serve. I need to remind myself that many times the program doesn't just serve as a motivational factor, but also as an ability factor. Many want to serve, but don't know how to serve until their leader makes them aware of the problem and how to solve it. Rather than create a program, as I did for the Hour Week program, could I have easily hung a list of names that need help outside my office door and encouraged others to take action? The answer to that question is found in verse 28 of Doctrine and Covenants, section 28. For the power is in them, wherein they are agents unto themselves, and inasmuch as men do good, they shall in no wise lose their reward. The power is in them. It is up to the leader to keep them aware of the problems that face the group and then encourage them to be proactive in solving it. So what are your thoughts? Do programs help promote service in the ward, or do they enable people to be compelled in all things? That concludes my article, What If All Church Programs That Compelled Service Were Abolished? So a few thoughts I've had in reviewing this article since I wrote it is this, and I maybe should have hit this harder in the article, but the reality is the overarching goal of any leader, no matter what organization is, whether it's in the church or out of the church, in a secular world, in the religious world, it comes down to culture. What is your culture in your ward or group or quorum? This is something a leader constantly needs to be analyzing and revisiting and asking others what culture they feel is present, what the culture others feel is present, because the culture is what changes the individual heart, right? Because when you can get true principles, true converting principles on a cultural level, that is when sanctification happens. That is when people change and progress further down the path in which has been laid out and which is the purpose of the gospel, right? The culture is everything in an organization. And I hope you take moments to really analyze that. And so that's really what I'm hitting on here is that when I served as a bishop and did this Hour Week program, I did so with the hope of solving a problem. And there's nothing wrong with creating a program to do that, but it also made me pause and realize that what am I doing outside of the programs that is building the culture of the ward so that when people come, they naturally want to serve, that their experience in the church is so compelling, that the atonement of Jesus Christ is so dominant, so prevalent when individuals come to church that they naturally are converted and therefore they naturally and organically serve. I love how Elder Bednar says from time to time when he talks about the grace of Jesus Christ, he says, and I paraphrase, but anytime you read the grace of Jesus Christ, you should replace grace with the enabling power of the atonement. And really, that's what we're trying to do is, or that's what the gospel is trying to do. And that's what it can do if we can get our culture to a point that it enables the atonement of Christ in their lives. If it enables the atonement in their lives, they will then go out and be more Christ-like because they've been changed. They've been converted. They've been sanctified. So this article obviously didn't provide like many solutions or tactics you could try to do this, but nonetheless, I felt it was important to put out there and start getting people to think about that, right? Like, why is it you're always compelling people to do things? It's not because they're lazy. It's not because they're bad people or they don't get it, but really it goes back to the culture that you've created in your ward. So I'd love to get your thoughts on that. If you have any ideas or ways to approach this problem, send me an email. Let me hear about it. I'll make sure that the masses get out and hear that the masses hear about that and share that. And really, if you have an idea for an article or a certain principle that you'd love to write a few paragraphs about and share it with others that follow Leading LDS, I would love to open my platform to you. You can send those submissions to me and I'll review them and most likely share it on Leading LDS. So I appreciate you listening. And as always, all we ask is $1 a month for the content that we put out on Leading LDS. So ask yourself, is this content really worth $1 a month? And if it is and you're not paying, well, you should really reconsider that and make a goal today to go contribute to Leading LDS by going to leadinglds.com/help and follow the link at the top of the page. Until next time, become a leader and not a calling.